Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we know that you're already here, and for this, we say thank you. Thank you for the powerful name of you, Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that we do love you, we worship you, and we adore you. And Lord, we just give you all honor, all praise. And as your word goes forth, I just pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to go right into our scripture, which is from Titus 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Are y'all enjoying this extended series on grace? I tell you what, grace upon grace upon grace. I think that's appropriate for us. Since we are getting grace upon grace, let's just talk about grace upon grace a little bit more. Amen. And just a reminder, because I love this acronym and it keeps me mindful of what grace is. This is going to be kind of a refresher or reminder of what we've been talking about for the past couple of Sundays. And can y'all remember what grace is? Grace is God's reconciling appreciation, compassionate care, and empowerment towards us. And I like that. That's grace. And the idea that God reconciles us. Jesus Christ gave his life for us to reconcile us back to God. But grace is what they extend towards us to keep that reconciliation going. Amen. Amen. And that empowers us to keep on moving, keep on walking, keep on talking, keep on pressing. And last week, we talked about three types of grace. And I thought it would be good to just revisit those briefly. And when I say briefly, I mean very briefly. But the definition that we have, the actual definition of grace is the exercise or to exercise love and kindness, mercy, and favor. It is the disposition to benefit or serve one another. That's how we experience and extend grace. So last week, we talked about three graces, which were prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace. And prevenient grace is when we had no clue that we needed grace, or even more so that we even needed God. Amen. Do y'all remember? I think it even happens now. Sometimes we don't even realize that we are in need of God's grace. And it's still prevenient. I used to think it was like before I was saved, before I gave my life to Christ, before I started. But sometimes we don't realize that we may need grace right now. Driving up and down the roads, having conversations, going in and out. I don't know about y'all, but I believe in transference of spirits. So, whenever we miss that moment and we were protected, that is still prevenient grace at work. Amen. In our lives. Amen. Amen. Justifying grace. I like justifying grace because it takes me right to Romans 8:1. For there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Justifying grace changes and reconciles our relationship with God in Christ. So if there's no condemnation, look at somebody like we did last week and say, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, because we have been justified. And justifying grace changes, it reconciles our relationship with God, and it also keeps us in a place where we won't be so hard on ourselves. Sometimes we can be harder on ourselves than we are on other people. And sometimes we can let the harshness of others throw us off. And this other person may be having a bad day, or maybe they just have a bad disposition. But we have to remember it's God's grace that makes us who we are. Then we have sanctifying grace, which implies justifying grace. That means it's the grace that changes us from within. It's God's grace that empowers us to remember, to say, to stand flat-footed and to say there really is no condemnation. I can't condemn you. You can't condemn me, because Christ is not condemning anyone. Remember, court is adjourned. The verdict has already been in, and he paid it all. So when he took on my guilt sin, there's no condemnation. You know, once court is adjourned, it's a wrap. No matter what people may believe, it's still a wrap. The verdict is the verdict. And the verdict for us is not guilty because of Christ Jesus. And that's why 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, but you were sanctified and were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Amen. So today, we have another long acronym. And that acronym is Keeping Grace. Now, we've had grace for the journey. We've had amazing grace. We've had grace upon grace. I mean, it's all kinds of, grace is just keep on coming. So this one is keeping grace. Or another way to say it is sustaining grace. But I like keeping grace. And this is the acronym that they gave me for keeping grace. Keeping grace is knowledge that enhances and empowers us to be what we need in these days and times. It empowers us to be positive, intentional, noble, and grateful. So y'all repeat after me. Knowledge that enhances and empowers us to be positive, intentional, noble, and grateful. So I'm going to break these down really quickly for you. So knowledge, if we're going to experience keeping grace, sustaining grace, let's look at the word knowledge. We know where we've been. We know what we've done. We know how we are in relationship with God. We may not always know what we need from God, but we have the knowledge to even know that we may not even know what we need. So it's our knowledge of who God is, what God has done, what grace is. That's what this knowledge is that we are working from a spiritual perspective. And then it also applies to what we have learned along the way. Who said when you know better, you'll do better? So that's an action of knowledge in effect. The other one is it enhances and empowers us. See, when you know what scriptures strengthen you, what songs make you feel like you can keep going, I feel like going on. Whenever you have the knowledge of what works for you, when you know what you have to do when anxiety comes. And I like what my brother said, you just got to call on the name of Jesus instead of worrying. And just when you get ready to go down that road where you've got Worry Avenue, Anxiety Street, and Trepidation Road, and you going around and around and around, and oh my Lord, what I'm going to go do, circle. We have the knowledge that'll keep us going to not take those streets, those avenues, those worries, those paths even, okay? So that's what knowledge, and as it is enhanced and it's empowered, that's what keeps us moving, and that's what keeps us positive. Don't y'all just love those angry believers? Cranky Christians? Angry adversaries for the Lord. But we have to be positive. Amen. There are days, you know, it makes me go to the fourth agreement that says, always do your best. Now, your best may not be the same on Monday as it is on Wednesday, but you know that you've done your best. And you know, that's knowledge, know that you are doing the best that you can do. Sometimes that's the best positive thought that you can think. There's a teacher that I love to study with. His name is Neville Goddard. Neville Goddard says, think your best positive thought about whatever the situation is, and think another thought better than that. That'll keep you being positive. Because I'm telling you, it's easy to slip down in the bushes of whatever isn't positive. That's our humanity. Knowledge will help us to say, what? 1% more spiritual. Knowledge keeps us, reminds us, 1% more spiritual. Doesn't seem like such a heavy load to bear when you break it down. And we have to be intentional. You don't want to accidentally, how do you accidentally have grace? How do you accidentally smile? Y'all seen, it's a little thing on YouTube. The baby, it's a little girl. She is so precious. And her mom says, do the face. And she'll do a mean face. And then she says, smile. And she'll go, how do you accidentally smile at somebody? I just did not mean to smile at you. I meant to frown. Okay? But we can be intentional with our grace. That's whenever you know, look, now you're talking about a spiritual being having a human experience. You meant to keep that resentment, didn't you? Hot diggity dog, you wasn't thinking about the Holy Spirit. Had you smiled at somebody you know. I knew I should have turned left, Jesus. That's what you was telling me to do. Ah. Sometimes it happens. But when that grace starts kicking in, you can't help it. You are just intentional because you know that God didn't accidentally send Jesus to the cross for us. Okay? So we are intentional the same way our Father, Elder Brother, and the Holy Spirit is. If we can be intentionally mean and hateful, surely we can be intentionally positive and kind. Now, here's a new one. I like this N word. Noble. We keep saying we're children of the Most High God. We're King's kids. Now here, I say it now here. I'm feeling this morning, y'all. Noble, we live in a democracy. A democracy has presidents, people that are elected. But if we lived in a monarchy, we would live in a place that had kings, queens, princes, princes. So we don't really have a point of reference whenever we think about what true nobility looks like. So we may have to get a little help from the Holy Spirit on what does it mean for us to be noble. How does a king's kid respond to persecution? How does a king's kid respond when you were sitting there about to get in that parking lot spot and somebody come and take it? Has that ever happened to you before? You were waiting, right? You was like, oh, yay, Walmart up close. Shoot, not today. I know that we don't think of our response as a noble or ignoble response, but what does nobility look like? See, we can do it here. We can. We can be noble. We can be kind to one another here. Oh, but when you're hungry after church and you got to go somewhere and your favorite place has like a 45-minute wait, and then it seemed like they're going to take forever and a day, and Jesus is like this at the door, and your stomach is going, nah, nah, rah, rah, rah. How does nobility act on just the simple things in life? You burnt the chicken. That was your last pack unfrozen. You had a taste for chicken, too. Talking about the basic things where we don't really think about where we can extend grace and have a response to it. How does nobility? Have y'all ever seen a king or a queen? I mean, when Queen Elizabeth pops up in the news or whatever, but we don't know what that environment is like. So we have to ask the Holy Spirit, help us be noble and mean it. Because we are king's kid. We are representing, what, a state? A city? A township? We're representing a kingdom. And as kingdom dwellers, we are invited here through grace to be noble. And with our nobility comes grateful. Just say thank you. We are great at being givers. Having grace and being grateful allows us to also receive. It is a two-way street, despite what we may believe. But we have to be able to give as well as receive. So be grateful, even though I'm going to use the imagery of farming in a garden. Even though half the crop didn't come up the way you thought it would and you needed for it to, let's just say you planted 6 rows of corn and only 2.5 of them came up. Whew, it takes grace to not worry about what happened to those other 4.5 rows, especially if your livelihood is depending on your crop. So now I can talk personally on this. I have had to learn to be grateful for what I do have. That's where the keeping grace really kicks in. You have to have that knowledge where we can move on to what? We can move on to the next slide that's not here. Maybe I opened the wrong one. But the next slide is supposed to be a slide that gives us the power. Thank God I know the scripture. Psalm 46:10. To be still and know that God is God. That's it. That's the appropriate slide. So what does keeping grace do? Just when we're about to slip off into that skid spot, have y'all ever been driving in ice and your car went out of control? They tell you not to put on brakes, right? You have to have grace to not put on brakes whenever you're sliding on ice. That is like total in-the-moment grace. Well, it's the same way when things come down the pike. It takes grace to truly believe that our yoke really can be easy and that our burden really can be light. It takes, let me say it like this. I find it exciting and even challenging to believe the good part of Scripture. It's easy to believe in this life we're going to have tribulations, but it takes a different kind of grace to remind ourselves, wait, but Jesus overcame the world. Whenever it's been hard and we've experienced difficulties, trials, and heart, you know, just heartache, it's a little tricky to believe my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When the pressures of life have you kind of limping over with a hump in your back. Whenever basically what you've known and most of what you have experienced has been a raisin in the sun that just won't stop drying up. And it's sometimes difficult to have hope whenever hope seems like it went on vacation for a long time. To keep us from going to the, I call them the dark scriptures, and to stay over in the light, that's where we have to take that moment to be still and know that I am God. That's the epitome of keeping grace in action. Just before you pump the brakes, just before, it would be cool if it could be just before, because sometimes we can tell a storm is coming. So when we see that it looks like it's going to be a storm, maybe that is the place where we go ahead and be still and know that God is God. That's the epitome of the K in knowledge. So how do we know that God is God? We have to be still and let the Holy Spirit bring those times back to us. Remind us, I don't believe you brought me this far to leave me. Not nobody told me the road would be easy. Forget that part. Just say, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Okay, I got to sit still for a minute. Pause for a second. And remember, some kind of way, Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. So that's where I got to be. Even if your friend or your loved one is in the worst situation, when you've tried and tried and tried, and resurrection, forgiveness hadn't kicked in, and we've done this and we've done that, and we can't tell if we are trying to experience grace or are we casting pearls before swine, Jesus, when we can't tell. But if we be still and know that God is God, I truly believe that grace will kick in. Remember, we can always tell how close we are to God and in his presence by how we feel. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Now, I don't know how I don't want to know, but I'm beginning to learn. I cannot be happy. Somebody comes along, something happens, and then all of a sudden I'm not in joy anymore. Okay, I refuse to be paranoid schizophrenic in the name of Jesus. I got to stay the joy. That's why sometimes you might have to laugh at people and say, you know, it's all right. It's cool. It really is cool when you really should be snapping and you really are experiencing some peace here. That is grace. That is truly keeping grace. Keeping grace. I like that word, keeping grace. Because, see, when we are still, we realize the grace keeps us from losing it, and it's what you want to keep with you. That's why we're intentional. So when we're intentional, we are making sure we are keeping. See, grace is going to keep us. But sometimes whenever we are over in that not quite 1% of our humanity, that's where we have to keep the grace. When our humanity wants to pop in, that's when we grab hold to the grace. And we have to keep moving. So be still and know that I am God. And whenever we are able to hold on like that, that's where Titus has an even more expansive meaning for us. Because it's for the grace of God that brings us salvation. Or let me start again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all of us, and we're looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's that keeping grace. It's knowing that we are being enhanced and empowered, okay? And that is what gives us that positivity, and we can be intentional. We can practice being noble. Maybe it just start with standing up straight, because I can slump. But what does nobility look like, act like? How does it carry itself when we have really no point of reference? And it keeps us being grateful. That's what this is talking about in Titus. That's what he might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying unto himself a peculiar people. Y'all know y'all peculiar, right? Zealous of good works. That's what keeping grace will do for us. That's what keeping grace empowers us with. That's what sustains us to do what God says do, be who God has created us to be, empower us. I like empowered, because then we can be peculiar. Who do you think you are? I'm a king's kid. Baseball cap backwards. It's not about the apparel. It's about being still and knowing that God is God long enough for him to let us know what it looks like for us. Because everybody knows all royalty doesn't look like, act like, think the same. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to make us into who they created us to be. And that's why we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And we know that it is by God's amazing grace that keeps us. That's keeping grace. And it's also what makes us more spiritual. Amen. All right. So y'all, people of noble keeping graceness, please stand with me. If you have something in your heart, need a little bit more information and understanding on keeping grace and who God says that we are on his behalf, everybody just close your hands. And if you want to come down this morning, you need to be down at the altar. Just come on down. And if you don't feel comfortable coming down, just ease your hand up. Because songwriter wrote, he'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. I really like knowing the grace that says in his presence there is fullness of joy. And there are pleasures evermore. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we want to be strong in being kept by the grace and also keeping grace with us, we want to really be in his presence. Loving God of grace, grace, grace upon grace upon grace. Grace that brought us, grace that bought us, grace that keeps us, grace that empowers us, grace that gives us the knowledge of who you are it's good to be still. But whether we're still or not, your grace is still at work, and we thank you for that, our Father. Well, Lord, we just thank you that you enhance us and empower us to be who you created us to be and say that we are. Oh, you are a keeper, and you do keep us in perfect peace. Thank you that we can, because of your shed love, we can be positive, intentional, noble, and grateful because of who you are. Because of who you are, we experience that grace. And all we can say is, thank you, Jesus. We are so grateful, and we are so gracious unto you. Lord, we thank you that you meet us at our point of need. And right now, whatever the points of need may be for every person in this room and those outside, thank you for grace. Thank you for keeping us. You know where to meet us. You know where to draw us to you so that your work can be done. For this we say thank you. And it's by your grace that we know that you know what we have need of, and that is knowledge, which will bring us the peace which surpasses all understanding. And for this we say, we love you, we worship and adore you, and we want to tell you, we love you more than anything. And we thank you for loving us more than anything. For this we say thank you, for it is in the strong, loving, gracious, graceful, matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.